live from Madame Thibodeau's House of Wax in New Orleans, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, renowned herpetologist, retired professional reptile rodeo clown, and the farthest down the Morgan Stigman actuarial tables, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring beloved attorney, author, inventor, and the longtime legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest and leastest, marksman, sculptor, six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, and a man's man who eats alligator for breakfast, the youngest of your Ringhausen brothers and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Yay! Alley man. And
welcome to episode 18.
18?
18 of them. I can't believe that.
Flying tackle.
Flying tackle. Oh, man.
It's almost like a headbutt in the illustration here. If our podcast listeners are looking at the illustrations as they go along.
It's pretty much just like diving headfirst into someone's gut, isn't it?
Sounds like what one of the local football teams need to be doing more of. Flying tackles.
Was that the Dallas Cowboys? Kansas City Chiefs?
The Cardinals aren't in St. Louis anymore. Mm-hmm. Phoenix, right? Yeah. Used to have season tickets there, too.
Or the Rams.
I had season tickets to them, too.
Boy, you just got kind of trashed all the way around.
Really did. All the way to, got pulled to, yeah.
Do you have season tickets to the St. Louis Cardinals this year?
No, I did not.
What a waste that would have been.
Man, they're not getting their money's worth this year, are they?
Not.
They lost again today.
But, you know, they still drew like 3 million people.
Yeah, that's season tickets included. You're not seeing that many people down in the stadium now.
You think there's a lot of no-shows?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think they have two seasons in a row like this. There's going to be really...
Yeah. It's going to be anxious to see what they do in the off season.
Question.
Yes.
When the team's not doing well, the fans, you know, they're there anyway, and the game's not worth watching. Do you think that causes them to be rowdier, unruly, less behaved?
I think they're more passive.
I think it's the other way. I think it's when the team's doing good and people get pumped up and they get out of control.
When there's a bad call,
I know
they get really upset.
You ever been thrown out of a game?
No, but I witnessed family members being thrown out of the game.
What's the worst rowdy behavior you've seen in a fan?
Well, it'd been my uncle.
not counting family.
Family?
Yeah, you've been to a game.
Then there really isn't any that I know. Well, I've had some names called at me when I was officiating, for sure, but nothing, you know.
You never saw a fan, like, pour beer over the edge of a, down to the tier below?
No.
Well, I've seen, like, full-blown fights at, like, hockey games.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's hockey. That would be one place where that can happen in the stands, I think, more than baseball. You just don't see that rowdiness. Football, you see it a little bit.
Okay.
Hockey is the big one. The worst one, I think, soccer in Europe.
Soccer hooligans.
You got it.
You know, you don't hear the word hooligan used with anything other than soccer, do you?
Man, it gets nasty over there.
Okay. Well, here's my story.
All right. We're sticking to
it. At a baseball game, right?
Okay.
And sitting in the bleachers, almost never sit in the bleachers, right?
True fans sit there a lot.
But we're there with the family, and this guy in front of us, and he's been drinking all day. And he's decided to start tormenting the...
The
other team's pitchers, right in front of the warm-up booth.
So they're down the bullpen.
Bullpen, right in front of the bullpen.
Warm-up booth.
I got to remember that one.
Right in front of the bullpen. And they're tormenting the other team's pitchers, you know, telling them your mother wears army boots, that kind of stuff. And the ushers come, of course, and say,
you've got to stop this. If you don't stop this, you're going to
settle down.
You're going to have to leave.
We're going to have to leave, yeah.
You know, and a little boy.
But the ushers at the ball games typically are kind of older gentlemen who are there to get a free game.
Free game, right.
They watch
and it, they get to wear a vest and pretend to be authority figures.
Right.
So, of course, the...
But they're not what I would call enforcers.
No. Well, some of them... So the guy goes back to his behavior. You know, he's tormenting the guys in the bullpen.
Really?
Yeah.
Taunting and antagonizing. Taunting.
Well, this time, a much more serious...
Usher came.
Usher comes and says, knock it off or you're leaving.
You know, there you go.
Storms up the... And I'm not telling you again. One of those types.
Gotcha.
I think I was at this game.
Yeah. Alan's sitting next to me.
Were you were you the one being taunting?
No. But as soon as the usher goes up the aisle again, you know, the guy's kind of sitting there quiet. Alan leans over to his shoulder and goes, you paid for your ticket. You can let him talk to you like that? Oh, serious? Man. The guy's girlfriend turns around and I thought she's going to burn a hole in Alan's skull with her eyes, the way she looks at him. And of course, the guy immediately goes back to taunting the guy. Yeah! You know, Alan then skulks out to go to the bathroom. When he comes back, says, hey, where's those guys? I said, they're all thrown out. I said,
well, good. We can see better.
I said, that girlfriend's looking for you. The way he's laid. You paid for your ticket, didn't you? You're not going to take that kind of talk, are you?
Wow.
Well, it's just like being, I think you're just...
It's like those old cartoons where the devil pops up on the guy's shoulder.
Well, you're just doing that like you would treat Brad, right?
Yeah, except it was a stranger.
Well, I know, but I mean, Brad gets kind of wound up
Brad
against...
Brad wasn't there.
I know, so you had to take... But Brad gets known to be wound up in some games, doesn't he?
He can.
Yeah. Just saying.
I was at a hockey game.
There you go. With
and
Brad.
We were in the cheap seats, and a friend of ours, Larry Moose Clunk, who is a he used to chew tobacco.
This isn't the night he got arrested.
No, different night. And
I used to
chew tobacco, you know, like Skull.
Yeah,
I can say Skull on the podcast, right?
Skull.
Anyway. You know, they had the little metal lids, and people who chewed Skull could snap those lids just right to where they'd fly like a flying saucer. Larry Conk snaps his lid, and it goes floating down through the crowd, and we watched it, and it goes and goes and goes, lands center ice.
Are you kidding me?
Had to stop the game.
And it's the shape of a hockey puck.
Well, sure it is. Yeah.
Had to stop the game. We're all up there. Everybody around us cheering. Because Larry snapped his skull can lid all the way to the ice. Top row.
Did they locate him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty insignificant to everybody else in the arena.
I know. New.
It's like a giveaway
but
night.
We thought it was.
Giving away free Skull.
Special.
So I don't think they were
giving away free Skull.
they gave away seat cushions one night. Didn't you say you were there for
that? I was
that?
There. It was
okay,
amazing.
You're talking about boorish fan behavior.
I think that was when they're in a pennant race, and I think that was against San Francisco. No, it was New York Mets.
Were you ever at an event where somebody was a streaker?
I was at college when it was a lot of streaking going on. But not an event.
You do it?
No.
Do a naked run?
No.
The naked mile?
No.
I did you?
No, but I've seen it on TV.
There was an interesting volleyball game one night up there.
Up where?
Up where?
Western Illinois University.
Yeah, and what made it interesting, Greg?
Greg, come on.
They were streaking around and they started to play a volleyball game.
Did you say
game.
We were?
No. Oh. I said they.
Oh, okay.
Correct pronoun.
When you say they...
Both sexes.
Attaboy.
There you go. Amazing.
Who'd you wager on?
There was no wagering. It was just watching.
You didn't turn on your sexiness on him?
I wasn't that close. I was up in the dorm rooms watching from down below. It was about bleacher seats.
How drunk were you?
Pretty drunk.
Okay.
Pretty drunk.
But not that drunk.
Not that drunk, no.
That you couldn't distinguish between the male and female.
No, not
runners.
That drunk or even joining them. So that Yeah. So if mom's listening, I didn't do it.
Oh.
Not like anybody, she was there.
Yeah, well, you never know. So anybody get kicked out of a professional sporting game?
No, I don't. I've never been kicked out of that.
No, I've never been asked to leave the sporting man. Well, I tell you what, terms of behavior. I remember one year.
Uh-oh.
Right, take it back. I got kicked out of a softball game one time.
This is in high school. Well, let me hear your softball story first.
There's nothing worth hearing, but I got kicked out.
Well, how did that come to pass?
I don't know. Just behaving badly.
Was alcohol involved?
Yeah.
Okay, so my story is that
drinking it, pouring it, throwing it.
We had an episode like that. Part of our crew was asked to leave politely, and we didn't. And so they got, yeah. We visited the St. Louis police station.
That oh!
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
In lockup, even?
No. They said, well, just sign this and we'll let you go. Because it's just for, you know, they told him to quit smoking, and he didn't. And so they handcuffed him, took him out. Everybody around him was applauding.
Handcuffed him?
Yeah.
You got handcuffed?
No, I didn't.
But oh, you were the one they called to rescue them.
Well, there were six of us. We had three sets of two seats back then. You couldn't
Did
get
the guy that got arrested have the keys?
No.
Oh, thank God. Then you could all go home.
And just leave.
Well, that was the thing. We were all ready to go, and all the one guy had to do was sign his name and say, you know, he confessed to doing this or whatever, and not hold the police responsible for any injuries or anything. He says, I can't read or write. And we all looked at him like, don't screw around now. So finally, he did sign it. He put an X down, and we all left.
Could he read and write?
Yes.
Oh, well, you didn't know. I mean,
no, he was in our crew. We knew him really well.
Your brother?
No. Very close, but not a brother.
He could have been.
So I go over to one of my other brothers and goes, what do you do now? We got to leave. And he goes, what do you do now? We got to go. So we followed the police down to the police station. I didn't know there was a police station that close to the Checker Dome at the time. But I do now.
There's a police station close to every big event.
That's probably
sure there is.
Okay, my high school story.
Sorry, I interrupted.
Playing baseball. And, you know, how they just split everybody up, you know,
Through
the one of those bizarre twists of fate, I wasn't the last guy picked to play.
Really?
I find that hard to believe.
No, it's true. But there was one scraggly, long-haired, crazy guy who was the last picked. And he was terrible.
As long as you don't use his name, you can say scumbag.
Dude.
Well... And, you know, he's up to bat. And it's just like the scene in Grease where John Travolta's terrible at all sports,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then snaps the umpire's mask back for calling him out. Well, this guy's up and does a swing where he swings all the way around, you know, just like a spin all the way around, missing it. And there's this other little dude who's playing shortstop who just busts out laughing at him. And, you know, before you know it, here's this, the long-haired freak guy dashing out across the infield with a aluminum bat and clubs that kid right across the shins and drops him down. You know, the coach's like, whoa, you've got to go to the office for that.
This is like assault.
Oh,
wow.
He beat a guy with a baseball bat.
Did he hit more than once?
I quit anyway. I'm like, just left.
Just leave the school?
Huh?
Did he leave the school then, or just...
I didn't follow him.
Gotcha.
But it was darn entertaining, other than the kid who got clubbed with a baseball
Was he still laying there in pain? Anybody help him out? Or?
Oh, he got his ankle broke.
Really?
Oh, yeah. His shin. I had to carry him out.
It broke his ankle?
His shin.
Did the guy get kicked out of school?
You know, probably. I don't think it bothered him.
You know, that's one of the worst pains, getting hit in the shin, man. I can't imagine. That had to be gruesome. Wow.
But, I mean... It's aggravated battery. I mean, why you didn't call the police is a bit of a mystery. But
surprised it didn't. Just a guy didn't.
You're getting suspended for 3 days.
I wouldn't think I would have told him that until he put the bat down.
This is true.
You know, the teacher. All right, to the office.
Just if you want to.
Come on, out here. We're not having any of that. All right, who's up next?
Really? Did you keep playing?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he took the kid into the office when he got clubbed and said, rest of you keep playing.
Wow. Which meant you didn't do anything.
Oh, no, we all sat down as soon as he left.
Oh, yeah. Well, how did they carry the other kid off? Or they?
Yeah, a couple of guys.
Oh.
I mean, the coach was, he was one of the big sport coaches, either basketball or football, I can't remember which one.
Gotcha.
So he had a couple of his guys. You know, the guys who teach PE are either coach basketball or football, and their pals are all the guys who are on their team, and all the other guys who aren't on the team are just like flotsam.
That's your opinion.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Well, yeah, well, you were on the wrestling team, so you had the wrestling coach looking out for you.
Rick, nobody knew who was on the wrestling team.
Really?
Wrestling coach did.
Was there many spectators at the wrestling matches?
None.
Really? Not parents or?
My mom didn't want to come because she said she couldn't bear to watch me get beat up.
That's a confidence builder.
For dad, it was fruit season. So
well, yeah, he's coming out. Yeah.
You're already wasting enough time going to practice.
You should be out here picking. So there's one of our
dad said, if you can put me on the ground, I'll come watch one of your games.
I don't remember ever saying that.
There was a gentleman that we know of well.
This is a test of the emergency banjo system. This is only a test.
Damn! In the event of an actual emergency, you'd be told where to tune in to get soothing banjo music.
This was a test of the emergency banjo system. This was only a test.
Folding papers.
That was part of it, but I actually did the ads. And back then, you had to melt a pot of lead and then pour the into a mat.
Well, you're lucky to be alive.
Well, yeah, there's all kinds of burns and things that.
I meant ingesting lead. No. It's lead poisoning.
There, no. Speaking of
this,
ads.
That, what have you.
There you go. Now you got newspaper ads. So there you are. We got our sponsor.
Speaking of paying the bills.
Are you still suffering from the lingering effects of alligator bites? Itching and swelling driving you crazy? Can't stop scratching?
Oh.
Your troubles are over with Johnson & Masters After Gator Bite Pain Relief Stick, a trusted analgesic formula approved by the USDA and recommended by pharmacists and herpetologists alike. After Gator Bite is the fastest way to blessed relief from painful alligator bites. And application couldn't be easier. Using one of your remaining hands, simply roll a thin layer of After Gator Bite onto the affected area or stump with its patented applicator, and soon you'll forget you were ever itching. Johnson & Masters After Gator Bite, ready to lend a hand.
Ooh, nice touch on that.
After Gator Bite.
You know, earlier today, Greg, you had showed me a picture of an 800-pound alligator.
14 feet long.
14 feet long.
Strapped up by a crane to hold it
up. Did we find out if it was a record?
Well, no, I did not.
Okay, and let me answer that for you.
Okay.
The average size of an alligator...
In North America?
780 pounds.
Oh, really?
So 800...
So it's not a big thing.
No.
It's just barely over average.
So the guys down in Louisiana that do the TV show on the gators, so they're actually not that big of gators on the average.
Not if they're just bringing in them little guys.
Well, I mean, they can get it into a John boat, so...
Yeah, they can fix that with a gator skeeter stick.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sure they got that in the boat somewhere, I would think.
How many of the guys that hunt alligators do you figure have an alligator bite?
Oh. 90%.
What do you think, Al?
I'm going to say at least 50% have a scar.
What I've discovered about alligators is that their jaws are so darn strong when they clamp that you can't get your arm out of them.
Oh, then if they start rolling, that's got to be brutal.
But the muscle that pulls their jaws open is like one of the weakest muscles that there is, and that a human can hold a gator's mouth shut if they get it, they catch it shut.
That's why they tape it shut, right?
Yeah. You so just tape it shut with duct tape.
Yeah.
A couple times around, gators.
It says here the largest alligator on record measured 19 feet 2 inches and the heaviest taken in recent times near Gainesville, Florida. Hang on.
Thus, the Florida Gators.
It says it weighed 1,043 pounds.
That's a lot of gator.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't even close to a record, really. 200 pounds, that's a lot of gator meat. Sponsor, was it? Australian Jack, or what was his name? Has a knife.
Yeah, what happened to that commercial?
That was a pretty good
one. It's on there. Go ahead and run it.
I don't know how.
I don't know if you're... It's not capable.
Better not. We might be here.
G'day, fellas. I'm Crocodile Jack from the Outback. I've been listening to how you boys are wrestling around with some baby alligators, but you ain't seen nothing until you've been in the business end of a 14-foot croc that's trying to eat you. But... once you've landed the Aussie swamp monster, you're only halfway home. You need the right piece of equipment to cut the beast into bite-sized pieces. That's why I'm proud to announce my new Crocodile Jackknife. If I can skin a monster crocodile from the Aussie swamps or shake down the local aborigines for protection, then you boys should surely be able to take care of your tiny American gators in mere minutes with this little lady. And the Crocodile Jackknife isn't just for hunting, it's also a dandy fashion accessory. I attach this little piece of hardened steel to my belt when I head to the pub, and it drives the Sheilas wild. So get yours today and start slaying them outside and inside. Well, my name's not Crocodile Jack from the Outback.
Might be here the rest
next
of the
show.
Rest of the show. Hmm. Yeah. So,
you know, I was asking Suzanne about veterinarians. We talked about veterinarians. What percentage of veterinarians have treated a human?
What did we discuss on that? Was it?
I say 80%.
So you guessed 100.
Ooh, really? Okay. I was going 80.
That there's not been a veterinarian who at some point hasn't treated a human.
Or more or less family member, right?
Okay, let's say that you're in college, right? And you've had a drunken escapade and have gotten a cut that requires stitches. And you've got a buddy who's studying to be a veterinarian.
Oh, heck yes.
Okay, now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're just saying.
I'm drunk, remember?
Perfect storm. Well, Bob's starting to be a vet. He can sew you up, Greg.
Yeah, I got it. Look at this.
I'm saying that every guy who's ever gone to veterinary
school.
And if
Greg doesn't want him to do it, we'll just hold him down.
Every guy who's ever gone to veterinary school has some drunken buddy who's needed to be stitched.
I don't even think it needs to be a vet guy. I think if that guy's got a needle and a thread, they were going at it.
You agree now, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
So you want to raise your estimate from 80?
Yeah, I give up. Oh, okay. Did you ever find my peanut butter chocolate milk?
You were asking me that. No, I have never seen
what?
It. Have you seen it yet?
Hershey's makes...
Hershey's, it wasn't Prairie Farms.
It was a Hershey product.
Yeah, I was on the wrong path. You told me Prairie Farms.
Peanut butter chocolate milk.
If you look at a chocolate milk carton, on the back it'll always say may contain peanuts. Every single thing you buy says that, so that they don't get sued by people.
But I mean, this is like a Reese's peanut butter cup in a bottle. For God's sakes, man!
So,
I think it'd pour really slow.
Galoop.
Galoop. Delicious.
Crunchy.
How come they don't put peanut butter in a tube that you can just squeeze it out?
Oh, you can. You can get that.
Where at?
Huh?
Where?
Amazon.
It's right next to the peanut butter chocolate milk that we can't find that either.
No, I was checking with Prairie Farms and doesn't have it. They don't have it.
Don't have it?
No. Strawberry chocolate. They had another one.
You guys, see, we're coming up on fall. Do you guys buy into the whole pumpkin spice everything?
No.
Oh, God, no.
Really?
They had pumpkin spice cider at the local box store.
Really?
Pumpkin spice cider?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd like that.
Pumpkin spice donuts.
I'm gonna tell Uncle Den, he's the cider guy.
He'd throw some pumpkin spice in.
I've been eating these pumpkin spice Little Debbie snacks. Have you had those?
No.
They're like a Swiss cake roll, only they're pumpkin flavored, and they have a white cream on the inside, and they're actually quite delightful.
Really?
So you like your spice in your lattes, do you?
I have never drank a latte in my life, Rick.
I have never partaken in one of those either.
An espresso?
No.
Alan. I was at home. This has been years and years and years ago. I was at home, and I was there without a vehicle. I'm the only one home, and I had this craving for chocolate milk or hot chocolate, right?
Okay.
And you know, I'm just going through cabinet after cabinet. I cannot find anything chocolate. Can't find any chocolate syrup. Can't find any Nestle's Quick. There's no chocolate milk. There's no hot cocoa. There's nothing.
And you're
but in the back of this one cabinet, I find this chocolate mocha coffee mix, like a cafe au lait, kind of this, like
little rectangle
little
cans.
Tin can, and yeah, well, this is exactly the same as hot chocolate. This solves my problem. Jan says, you know, add hot water. It was the closest I came to gagging from drinking something in my life. It was horrible. It didn't taste like chocolate at all. It was just like drinking some horrible coffee mix. It's terrible.
So when you see a Starbucks, you don't immediately head in and say,
give me one of those chocolate lattes.
Espresso with some whipped cream on top.
I say this.
Or with a nice little cream.
Oh, and by the way, I want to pay $14 for it.
Yeah. And wait in line forever for it.
Yep.
Something I don't want. They've got nothing that I want.
Right.
Starbucks.
What's your name? We'll write it on your cup.
Starbucks could just like crumble up and go. You see the end of the, the end of the movie Poltergeist, where the house just crumbles up and sucks into the ground. Every Starbucks on the planet could do that, and I wouldn't care.
Your life would not be affected.
None whatsoever.
Yours either?
No. Coffee is all I drink, but I don't drink. I don't want to pay $8 for a cup of
you
coffee.
You do drink coffee.
Oh, yeah.
If a famine came along and wiped out every coffee plant to where we could never have coffee again in the rest of the history of the world, I wouldn't care.
Good for you. What strikes me is what possessed the first person to
drink a bitter thing like that?
I mean, how desperate were you? I mean, water would have been better.
Yeah.
I know, I'm dying of thirst. I think I'm going to cook up these horrible, bad-tasting beans.
Yeah. Oh, the bitterness is just fabulous.
It is.
I don't get it.
You got to get addicted to it. You really do. It's something
well,
you can't
I know,
live without.
But, you know, the same guys who are growing coffee, the next farm over probably grows opium. You don't even have to taste
tobacco.
It.
Tobacco.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all the Mexicans, man. Aztecs. They did it. They had coffee. They had tobacco. They had chocolate. I will give them that.
But you can't hold everything against them.
Yeah, of course they
did human sacrifice.
Cut people's heads off and threw them down the stairs of the pyramids. They stopped doing that, right?
No, I think they still have that little habit every once in a while now. It's called cartels.
Well, when they have the equivalent of Oktoberfest, you know, when they celebrate Aztec history.
That's at a soccer game, right?
Mexico City Aztecs.
Yep.
Right time. This is the end of episode 18.
Woo! Doggies.
Woo! See you next time.
From Greg Gator.
Greg Gator.
Alligator.
Adios.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes. We'll be right back.